This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at @itswilltime and at @BarnettJake. On today's show, Will and Jake discuss Shane McMahon's return. So Jake, I was so excited to see the Vincent J. McMahon Legacy of Excellence Award handed out, because I knew something big was going to happen on Raw. And oh my goodness, possibly the biggest return in the history of wrestling itself occurred, because, Jake, there came the money. Shane McMahon is back. How psyched are you about this? Like, on a scale of 10 to 14?
Like 11? I guess I'm...
That doesn't sound psyched enough.
I'm a skeptic of the Shane O'Mac return. I mean, I guess I really enjoyed this segment, like, you know, intensely, right up to the point where it became obvious that they were making a WrestleMania match for Shane, and and it was like, oh no, like it, I was hoping that this would, you know, this would finally be the catalyst for the McMahons sort of taking a smaller role on television, which would be wonderful, and then perhaps they'll get there, because, you know, that's sort of the crux of this story. But it was like, you know, they just dragged out a bunch of family drama. They dragged out the ratings and declining, you know, revenues and stuff like that, and the stock price. And it's like, okay, so they're, you know, they decided to take this approach that, you know, people are talking about this openly online, and so, well, why not turn it into a story and make some money and let people know that we are cognizant of the fact that, yes, our ratings are down. Yes, our, you know, our revenue isn't as good as, you know, or our profits aren't as good as they once were, and all that. But here we go. We're going to try to turn this into a story. And I thought that was a great idea. And then it was like, you know, Shane has a bunch of stuff in a kind of a lockbox, and then there's a match with The Undertaker, and it's for control of the company. And it's just,
or
like,
the lockbox. The lockbox is on the line.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's, if Shane loses, he has to give Vince the contents of the lockbox, never to be seen or heard of again. And if he wins, apparently that still remains out there as some kind of MacGuffin, you know, storyline MacGuffin for another time.
And even if he loses, Vince could accidentally give the lockbox to someone, right?
I don't know. I assume that was just thrown out there as some kind of red herring or something that will never be followed up on again. But, you know, I was into it. Like, I really like Shane's performance. I think he's a fantastic promo. I'm just like, oh, man, The Undertaker isn't what he once was. And I remember that. Like, the first thing that popped into my head when they said Undertaker was like, I remember that spot where Undertaker chokeslammed Shane McMahon from the top of the turnbuckle all the way out to the announce table, and it was like this crazy thing at the time, and it was like one of the many absolutely insane Shane O'Mac spots from the Attitude Era. And it's like, you know, I get why, you know, they would want to do this, because it's completely out of left field, but it felt like either, you know, a panic button or some kind of, we don't know if Cena's going to be back, emergency lever in the back that they pulled to try to make this happen. And I think it caught a lot of people off guard, and as such, people are getting really excited about it. But I mean, all I can imagine from a gray-haired Shane McMahon and a very broken-down Undertaker is something with a lot of interference and a lot of weapon spots and just general craziness.
I have a few things I need to confess here to our listeners and to you, because I don't think this has come up in discussions with you over the last 4+ years that we've been doing this. Number one, I have an irrational love of Shane McMahon. And even though I know it's wrong, I still love him for some reason. And I shouldn't, but I do. And number two, I have an irrational love of Shane McMahon matches, even though I know they're stupidly dangerous and absurd, and he gets to do stunts that no one else gets to do. Shane McMahon matches are still very entertaining. So with those things confessed, having said those two things, I'm super excited about this match in the weirdest way possible, because when the segment started, I think someone on Twitter put as a joke something about Shane McMahon versus Undertaker. They started saying, Shane's not on the current roster. Oh, because of that rumor Dave Meltzer put out there about the Undertaker facing someone who's not on the current roster. And I said, oh, that's just not possible. It'd be great. Almost as a joke. But this is legitimately the most random match I could think of for WrestleMania. Shane McMahon versus Undertaker and Hell in a Cell. Why not? Let's just do that too. It's absurd. It's random. It's, I don't know if it's very creative or if it shows a complete lack of creativity, but I mean, I can say that as someone who has never gotten to see a Shane McMahon match live, I'm so excited that I'm going to be at WrestleMania 32 now.
Oh, we're going to see something. I mean, it's going to be something nuts. Crazy. Yeah, we're going to see him damn near kill himself. I mean, or maybe, we'll see somebody damn near kill him. I mean, I don't know what we're going to walk into. And that's kind of the beauty of the booking is it's like, I don't know what Shane can do. I mean, we saw him 6 years ago and it looks like he's aged like 20 years just based on the wispy white hair that he had going on. And he's got
the thinning hair,
thinning hair. And, you know, he looks like he's, been spending a lot of time on the golf course and a little bit less time in the gym. And so, I mean, I don't know what to expect from Shane. You know, maybe he's known about this for longer than we think. And he's been training, but I don't know. Like it just seems so random to me that they would just toss this together and, you know, it couldn't have been their first plan, but it worked on a lot of people. So I guess you got to give them credit. They pulled one off.
You mentioned the idea that maybe this is a stopgap. Maybe this is WWE saying, hey, if we have to, yeah, we're going to go with Shane McMahon against The Undertaker. It's going to be the train wreck of all train wrecks, and Will Pruitt at least will love and adore it for the rest of his life, because that's true. But if we can, you mentioned the idea of it being a John Cena, kind of a way to get to John Cena. What's your theory there? How do you think WWE, if Cena gets medical clearance, if Cena is somehow able to work it, how does John Cena end up taking the place of Shane McMahon in this match?
You know, I think it's rather easy. I mean, you could have some kind of contractual loophole that allows Shane McMahon to either receive or fake an injury and name a replacement for the match. You know, I could see any number of things happening. I think the one thing that we have to sort of put out there is that why would The Undertaker, you know, do a solid for Vince McMahon, like to keep him in power in the company? Like they haven't explained that either. And so it's like, well, maybe there's some drama involved there. And then, you know, if Cena becomes ready, then, you know, it just becomes another layer that you can add in. And, you know, it's going to depend on his availability as to whether or not, that takes place. And I'm sure they'll plan around him not being there. And, you know, if it comes to be that he is, then they could kind of do that last minute. I think it's definitely an option, you know, because I just can't imagine them sending this out there as one of the main events, knowing that what we saw from The Undertaker, you know, even in the ring with an athletic freak like Brock Lesnar, was a guy that was clearly not anywhere near at his best. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what it would be other than let's just have a garbage match and let's have The Undertaker do as many crazy things as Shane McMahon's body can withstand inside Hell in a Cell and interfere our way to a finish, because that's really the only type of match I think those two could put on, you know, without it being completely exposed.
I would agree with that. I think it's got to have a lot of interference, a lot of smoke and mirrors. It's got to be the most insane match WWE may have ever booked. I mean, Shane versus Kurt Angle at King of the Ring 2001? It was 2001. Was maybe one of the most violent and insane things I've ever seen. But Shane at least had a track record of being a competitor in and around the ring at that point. This is just, it's nuts. I can't think of other words other than comparing it to almost unfairly two types of mental illness than to describe this. But I'm still excited about it.
Think about where Shane came from. Just, you know, as far as we know, Shane has been managing a streaming media company in China that,
yeah,
from all reports, has struggled to gain traction. And he's also like a sports agent for like a couple of professional golfers. And he spends a lot of time in Europe, you know, dealing with golf related things. And it's just like Shane McMahon has been so far removed from wrestling for, you know, for so many years that it's like, you know, just to plug him in and have him be in a WrestleMania main event with The Undertaker, because WWE is in a very desperate situation from an injury standpoint, it's just shocking from a lot of different perspectives. So I have to imagine that this is just a desperation play, and that they did this to get some excitement rolling for an event that seemed after last night's pay-per-view to just be dying on the vine. And if Cena's ready, then they can slide him in here and have Vince and Shane be in the corners of their respective champions, and then that will be the end of it. Like, at least I hope that's the case, because I think if that Shane and the Undertaker match happens, it's going to be, you know, when we got halfway through Lesnar and the Undertaker at WrestleMania a couple of years ago, and everybody was like, oh man, this is bad. This is really bad.
I think that's possible, but with the word good instead of bad.
I hope you're right. I really do.
Hey, everyone. If you like what we do and want to show us some support, please rate us, review us, check us out on iTunes, give us a rating, whatever you really feel like rating us. Same thing with a review, criticism, anything you've got is fine. But any sort of rating or review helps with the iTunes algorithm, and it makes us feel all warm and fuzzy inside. And I love those warm fuzzies. Also, if you would be kind enough to check out ProWrestling.net membership, or just the ProWrestling.net website, where today you can find Zach Zimmerman's live coverage of NXT. You're going to find John Moore's Lucha Underground coverage tomorrow morning. You're going to find coverage of all the major shows and all of the major news in wrestling. On top of that, there's also ProWrestling.net membership. ProWrestling.net members currently get ad-free access to the newly redesigned members site, exclusive audio shows, including the flagship show .net Weekly, where Jason Powell often breaks first-run news you're not going to hear anywhere else, audio reviews of every major TV show, access to the ProWrestling.net members forum where you can chat and mock a great group of human beings, and all this, if you just want to try it out for a month, get yourself super close to WrestleMania, tantalizingly close to WrestleMania at this point, $7.50 for the month. Or if you want to lock it in, you know you want it long term, we actually offer discounts at the 6-month price point and at the annual price point. And if you take that annual option, that per month cost goes down to $5.50 a month. That's about a $24 a year savings. I support you doing that economically. So, guys, if you want to check all this out, ProWrestling.net's the place to start. Thanks so much for listening. Let's talk about the other part of this match, though. Shane McMahon and Vince McMahon, they were arguing about the control of WWE Raw. And it seems like, and the match was made with the idea that if Shane wins, he gets control of Raw, the TV show, and no mention of SmackDown, Main Event Superstars, NXT, the Extreme Rules pay-per-view, any of that. No mention of how those entities are affected, just Raw. So what do you think the idea is here? Are they actually going to go with WWE Raw as a separate show then? And what does that open up? I kind of postulated after seeing that maybe this is a way to bring the brand split back. And we heard a lot about NXT influence in the relaunch of SmackDown on the USA Network. Maybe the idea was get through WrestleMania, and then that's going to be the Triple H brand, if you will. He's going to control it, slowly or quickly morph into the Triple H on NXT figure and also bring up Triple H's guys, and Triple H has the creative control there. Maybe this is the next evolution of WWE, and this is a way to get there.
That's a, you know, it's a great idea. I think it could work out if they have the draft and are, you know, and it's kind of open season on anybody that's currently. I apologize if you're hearing a train in the background. There's an obnoxious one going by my house right now. But I think it would be, you know, a great open season if they could pull guys from NXT onto both rosters. I mean, I know you don't really want to leave that brand completely depleted, but you know, maybe if they're, you know, if they could work angles where, you know, the leaders of Raw and SmackDown, Triple H and if, I guess it would be Shane at that point, could talk people into, you know, opting into the draft or something. You know, it'd be a good way of adding some interest, because if they want to do a brand split, I mean, just think of how thin they are right now from the injury standpoint. They're going to need a lot of help.
Yeah, they would need a ton of help in a draft scenario, but I also look at how loaded that NXT roster is, and part of me wonders if it's not just for NXT, but if a lot of this is Triple H building a brand that is made to go 2 hours on primetime on the USA Network on a weekly basis. And I wonder if the idea is, hey, we're going to make SmackDown a bigger thing and make it far, far better than it's been. It's going to be its own show, and this is just a way to get there. If this is a clumsy way to suddenly get to Triple H running his own show on the actual main roster WWE product, it wouldn't shock me too much. And honestly, when I look at the absurdity of the Shane McMahon versus Undertaker matchup, that's what comes out of it to me, is it's an absurd way to get to this exciting prospect of a match.
Well, I mean, if this is, you know, even remotely true, I'll drop dead of excitement, because I'm ready for, you know, WWE to get serious about promoting two separate brands, because they need a different, you know, change of pace for Tuesday. Like it so often they get to the SmackDown tapings and you read the spoilers and it's like, okay, token women's match, six-man tag main event, opening segment is a 20-minute talking segment. Okay, that's, you know, a typical SmackDown. Like, it would be so nice if they could inject some freshness into that show, and not just because the announce crew is that much better than Raw. You know, it should be because they actually have enough going on that it feels like that show is important.
Yeah, it would be nice if the show felt special, and they've done, I think the announcing on the show has been awesome. I think they've done a good job in recent weeks actually making SmackDown feel like a more exciting and watchable show, but this would be the ultimate for that SmackDown show. And I know the roster is thin right now because of all of the injuries, but I also look at the other side of the injuries and go, man, when they get guys like Cesaro and John Cena back, that roster is going to be stacked, and it might be too stacked to have all of the guys who should be in main events or even in the mid card filling those roles. What if they did a brand split and it allowed for two main event scenes, two mid cards, two undercards, you know, two of everything, and you were able to see a guy like Cesaro rise above what he currently is, stationed underneath so many of the established main eventers. I mean, Randy Orton too, as a guy who could come back. There are a ton of guys on that injured list who, coming back and making an impact, could do really well with a brand extension and with a, you know, with a brand split actually occurring. I know people were for WWE getting rid of it when they did, and the roster did thin out a great deal, but if you include NXT talent in that, in the WWE roster, that is, they may have the best roster they've ever had.
Certainly. It's just a matter of how do you, you know, sort of keep NXT as this viable third brand if you're going to clean out that roster to the extent that would be required to make a second main roster brand feel like it was a big deal. Like, I think that'll be their challenge, you know, is trying to find a balance that it works. You know, they do have, you know, the Sami Zayns and the Nakamuras and the Samoa Joes and the Finn Balors and the and you know, there's a lot of people down in NXT that could fill a role on the main roster right now that you know, that feel like they're ready. But it's, you know, if you take all those people away, you know, do they just become part-timers on whatever brand they appear on and they also appear on NXT? Or, you know, how does that work? And how do you make it feel natural and not forced? Because that's going to be, you know, a tough thing for them. Because one thing they don't seem to be particularly good at is nuance and making, you know, their storylines fit into those logical you know, combinations that you know, are appealing to at least fans that like to think about their wrestling while they're watching it.
Are you saying Shane McMahon isn't good at nuance?
He was better. I think he was better than anybody else in the opening segment. You know,
that's true.
His facial expressions and you know, tone of voice and you know, the way that he played to the crowd during his promo was excellent. I thought he was, you know, doing a fantastic job of leading the segment. You know, he definitely carried that opening segment. Vince, you know, he does all right, you know, but I just don't think he's mentally as sharp as he was, you know, when he was at his top, at his best performance, you know, in the late 90s. And Stephanie, you know, you know what to expect from her. If she's not berating someone, she's really not that good. So I think Shane was definitely the most entertaining McMahon in that opening segment.
I completely agree. And we'll wrap up the discussion here. I could rave and praise Shane McMahon all day. And, you know, we have quite a few weeks going into WrestleMania for me to discuss how great Shane McMahon is. But for now, I think we'll wrap this episode up and I'll talk to you again pretty soon. Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!